This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to be talking about appellate law. And my guests are very experienced people in the area of appellate law. Faye Arfa, a criminal law trial advocate, certified by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. She's also a specialist in both appellate law and criminal law, certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization. Her office is in Los Angeles. Paul Katz is a specialist in appellate law, certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization. His office is in San Francisco. And the old man here, besides me, although I'm probably older than he is Myron Moskowitz. When I say old man, Myron is one of the most experienced attorneys in the state of California. He is the legal director of the Moskowitz Appellate Team Law Firm in Piedmont. He is a retired professor of law at Golden Gate University School of Law. He's the author of a new book, Moskowitz on Appeal. And frankly, if you're an attorney and you do any appeals, you should take a look at this. This segment of Your Legal Rights is funded by the National Board of Trial Advocacy and also by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Additional funding of the program is made possible by the Family Law Section of the State Bar of California and by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Faye and Myron and Paul, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Just great to have you here. Myron, would you start off, but if you would do this, give us a brief background about you, if you don't mind.
Okay. I graduated from law school at University of California in Berkeley back in the 1960s, and then I worked for a justice of the California Supreme Court, Ray Peters, as a law clerk, and that's when I got so interested in appellate law. After that, I practiced law for a while in the anti-poverty program, and then I became a professor of law at Golden Gate University, and on the side, I did quite a number of appeals. And I retired from that a couple years ago, and I started this new law firm, Moskowitz Appellate Team, where I got together with some retired appellate judges. And they're on my team, and Paul Katz, who's here, is also on my team. And we work together on civil appeals. And that's what I'm doing, aside from writing books once in a while.
And you, Myron, have been doing appellate work for about 50 years.
Yeah, it okay. Turns out that way.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. But he looks awful young, everybody.
Wow.
Paul, let's go to you now. Oh, but wait, before we do that, I think let's do this, and then I'll come back to Myron. Paul, give us a little background about you, just a short background.
Sure. I'm originally from Cupertino here in the Bay Area. I went to UC Berkeley undergraduate and went to Northwestern Law School in Chicago. After that, I clerked on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals for Judge Carlos Bea. So like Myron, I got a lot of experience and interest in appellate law from that experience. And besides that, after that, I worked at a big law firm here in San Francisco in the civil arena, both doing trial work and appeals. And for the last 4 or 5 years have been focusing exclusively on appeals, both in the civil and criminal context. And as Myron mentioned, I do work with him on the Moskowitz appellate team preparing civil appeals.
Now, Faye, you're down in L.A., and as I understand it, and much to my surprise, you've been practicing 35 years. Give us a little background about you.
Yes, I went to UCLA as an undergraduate, and then I earned a master's degree in public administration. I worked in public service for a local politician. I went to law school at night. And then after law school, I went into public service. I worked for the Federal Aviation Administration, where I was editor of their enforcement bulletin. And then I also worked for the city attorney's office. Started my own practice in 1986, and I focus on appeals. And I also do trials. I'm certified as a specialist in both by the California State Bar Board of Legal Specialization.
Well, okay, very good. Let me come back to Myron. Myron, tell us, I think we need to set the groundwork. What's an appellate court? What's an appeal, if you would?
Sure. Well, people go to trial in a civil case or a criminal case, and you often hear people who lose say, I'm taking this to the Supreme Court. And let's examine what that means and what it really means. California has basically three layers of court. We have the superior courts, where cases are tried, where you have a jury or a judge listening to evidence and deciding who should win the case. And from there, the loser can file an appeal to the Court of Appeal of California. There's six districts in the state, running from San Diego all the way up north, and these are judges that sit in panels of three, and they decide whether to affirm, in other words, let the trial court decision stay the way it was, or reverse and order judgment for the person who lost in the trial court, or sometimes order a new trial. And above the courts of appeal, the third layer is the state Supreme Court. And they have discretionary jurisdiction in most cases. They don't have to take anything except death penalty cases. They have to take those. Other than that, they pick and choose. And the state Supreme Court is there not so much to fix possible mistakes in the trial court or the Court of Appeal, but to resolve important issues of law for the whole state. And they have total discretion other than the death penalty cases. So you have no right to get into the Supreme Court. In fact, it's very hard to get there. They get about 6,000 petitions a year to even have your case heard, and they hear only about 75 of those petitions. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard to get in there. The federal structure is very, very similar. You have the federal district courts that handle crimes charged by the U.S. attorney, civil cases involving residents of different states or federal laws, and the loser in a federal district court can appeal to the Court of Appeal. We're in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal, and they have courtrooms in San Francisco, Pasadena, and they occasionally sit other places. And from there, if you lose, you can try to get in the U.S. Supreme Court, which has total discretion as to what cases to hear. So someone who says they're taken to the Supreme Court, not likely. They may try, but it's very hard to get into. The U.S. Supreme Court grants a tiny, tiny percentage of requests to have cases
heard
there.
There's only so much time they have to deal with.
Yeah, there's only so much time. Each case is very involved, complicated, takes a lot of work, and they only have so much time. And they reserve it, again, for issues of what they see as national importance. And the U.S. Supreme Court deals only with cases involving federal law, federal statutes, or the United States Constitution. And if it doesn't involve that, they simply defer to the cases, the states. Now, what is an appeal? An appeal could mean a lot of things. Conceivably, it could mean having a new trial all over again in front of the appellate court. And there are a few countries that do operate that way.
But we don't do that.
Well, we do it in one situation only, one narrow situation, in small claims.
I see.
If somebody has a small claims case, they're not allowed to have a lawyer, neither side, the plaintiff or the defendant. A while back, some courts decided that really that wasn't unfair to the plaintiff because he had a choice. He could have gone to small claims or hired a lawyer and gone to regular court. But it wasn't fair to the defendant, who has a right to a trial with a lawyer if he wants to. So in small claims, we do allow the defendant, but not the plaintiff, to appeal. And when the defendant appeals, he gets a brand new trial.
In the Superior Court.
In the Superior Court.
Yeah.
But that's the only situation where we allow that. Where it's not that situation, we appeals are on a very limited basis, and I'll let Paul take it over from there.
Yeah, Paul, if you would talk a little bit about civil appeals, would you?
Sure. I think something that Myron intimated, which I think I really want to get across to the audience, is the fundamental difference between what we see on TV with a trial where there are live witnesses, testimony is taken, a jury or sometimes a trial court judge decides which witnesses are telling the truth, which ones are lying, and then they arrive at a verdict. All that we see on TV, that's in the trial court. And as Myron said, an appeal is very different, except for the limited circumstance of small claims. One of the major differences is on appeal, there are no live witnesses. That's because there's no, as a general matter, there's no new evidence that's taken into account to decide the appeal. In fact, appeals are decided on what would be called, quote unquote, a cold record. And that's just kind of a pile of documents, which are documents that were either filed, written documents that were filed in the trial court, or the testimony that was taken down by a court reporter. And so appeals inherently are sort of backward looking. They're just looking at what occurred during the trial to see if there's an error. Mm-hmm. In essence, to put it bluntly, an appeal is not a do-over. It doesn't let you do the trial again. In fact, just this kind of a division of labor, all that work of accumulating evidence and presenting it to the trier of fact is something that has already been done. So what an appeal is doing is something different. So, as I said, the record on appeal was just documents, and that's what the appellate judges are going to look at. And another difference is the fact that an appeal oftentimes is looking at procedure. It's not looking at, well, was this witness telling the truth or was he lying? Because that's something you can't really tell from looking at a piece of paper. That's just words on a piece of paper. We can't tell the demeanor of the witness. And so that's something only for the trial level. On the appeal level, we're looking more, given the state of facts as they were produced at the trial, how does the law apply to that? And that's why a lot of the issues that are most important on appeal aren't necessarily going to be apparent to a lay person that's been involved in the trial. And a couple other things that I wanted to mention specifically regarding civil appeals is one of the things is that it takes a real cost-benefit analysis when you think about appealing. When you get to an appeal, you've already gone through a long trial. It's oftentimes been costly. And unfortunately, you've lost, even though you thought you shouldn't. And then you decide, well, obviously the result is wrong because I lost, so I should appeal. But there's a lot of uncertainty regarding appealing. Just because you think something went wrong or the jury didn't believe you isn't necessarily going to be a good reason for a court of appeal to undo what the trial court did. And also, there's just going to be more costs and it takes a lot more time. Appeals can take upwards of a year or longer, depending on what the situation is. So that's something that really should be, I think, maybe one of the biggest questions about appeals is whether you should appeal in the first place. Because it's going to take, obviously the plus side is that you can maybe get rid of that bad judgment you just got from the trial court. But on the minus side, there's a lot of uncertainty. It takes a long time to get to the end. And it's going to cost money in the form of paying an attorney, paying more costs to the court, so on and so forth.
It's an expensive procedure. Let me do this. Let me go to Faye at this point.
Okay.
Faye, I want you to talk, if you would, a bit about criminal appeals, because I understand that's what you primarily do. But I think what I'd like you to do before you do that, which would be helpful to the audience briefly, if you would, Paul is a certified specialist in appellate law by the California Board of Legal Specialization. You are also a specialist in appellate law as well as criminal law by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, but you are also a criminal law trial advocate certified by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. What I'd like you to do very briefly, if you would, before you talk about the difference of criminal appeals, What is it that you and Paul have had to do to get this certification as specialization, both you appellate law, criminal law, and also the National Board of Trial Advocacy? Tell us briefly, what did you and Paul have to do?
Well, you have to fulfill certain task requirements. For example, in criminal law, you have to have a certain number of trials. In appellate law, you have to have a certain number of appeals or file a certain number of briefs. Also, for the National Board of Trial Advocacy, you also have to have a certain number of trials. You have to take a written test. Usually, the test takes a full day, and you have to pass that test. And then you also have to get references. There have to be people that vouch for your work and your ethics and your skills. So that's something that you have to get. The task requirements are pretty steep initially. Especially criminal law, you have to have a certain number of trials, and it's not always easy to get that many trials.
Let me do this, if I may, and then I'd like you, if you would, talk a bit about the criminal appeals, Faye. But for those of you who are listening to the program live, we are doing this on Wednesday evening, September 7th. And in a few minutes, if you are listening to the live program, you'll be able to call in and speak with my guests. You might want to jot down the number. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Faye, would you tell us a little bit of what's the difference, in your opinion, between a civil appeal and a criminal appeal?
Well, in civil appeals, you're usually dealing with money. People are upset about losing money, or they want something. In criminal appeals, we're talking about people's freedom. In order to get into the appellate court, you have to be convicted of some crime. And many people are incarcerated during the entire time their case is on appeal. Now, in criminal appeals, you get to appeal as a matter of right. So, at least for the first appeal into the appellate court, it's a matter of right. You get that as a matter of law, and you're also entitled to an attorney, which, if you don't have the money, the state will pay. So you would get a state-appointed attorney if you can't afford an attorney. The state also pays for the transcripts. So it is different in that if you have been convicted of a crime and you want to appeal to a higher court, then the state will pay. And the state will pay for the attorney, they'll pay for the transcripts.
Hmm.
Now, the issues, again, in criminal law are much different than civil law, because in criminal law, many of the issues are constitutional issues. Things like right to counsel, right to a fair trial, right to due process. There's all sorts of constitutional issues that you're looking for, mostly dealing with people's constitutional rights. And then also in a criminal appeal, you're looking for errors that happened at trial. Like in civil trials, you don't get to bring in new witnesses. You don't get to bring in new evidence. Everything is based on what happened at the trial below. But you look for errors. You look for, and you do this in civil cases too, you look for instructional errors. Did the court instruct the jury correctly? In criminal law, there's what we have, our prosecutors and defense counsel. Prosecutors have certain standards that they have to abide by because they're considered officers of the court. And they have the obligation to do justice. And if they fall below that standard, that could lead to reversible error.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So most of what happens in criminal appeals is constitutionally based because you're dealing with people's liberty. You also have sentencing issues, which you don't have in civil appeals. So you look for constitutional issues, instructional issues, issues like prosecutorial misconduct, ineffective assistance of counsel, because you have the constitutional right to an effective counsel, somebody who's going to represent you properly in the courts. But mostly, a lot of it has to do with the penalties, because people are incarcerated, and want to make sure that all of their rights were protected, and that's usually what you look for in a criminal appeal.
Well, let's do this. What, Myron? What kind of, you've been doing this for a long, long time.
Yeah.
What kind of advice do you have, generally speaking, for someone who feels he or she has not been dealt fairly by the law and is giving some thought to an appeal?
Well, let me give you an example of a case I had that brings out some of the things that, especially what Paul was talking about. A man came to me, asked me to handle an appeal for him. He had a judgment against him for several million dollars in a property dispute.
Wow.
And I asked him, it was on a lawyer, but I always like to get the client's take on it. He showed me the trial court's opinion. There was a written statement of decision, and I read it, and I said, on its face, it seems to make sense to me, although I haven't read the record behind it. I said, what do you think is wrong with it? And he said, well, it relies on a certain witness, and that witness was lying.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, in addition, it says I'm a liar and I wasn't a liar. And then there was a whole bunch of evidence that was not in the trial. My attorney forgot to put it in.
Ooh.
And that showed that there should be no judgment against me. And I told him pretty much what Paul said earlier. I said, look, if I take your case and bring it to an appellate court, they're confined to the record of what happened at trial. And if your attorney didn't put in certain evidence, I can't do it. That's to be done in the trial court. I can't introduce new evidence to the appellate court. If you got a problem with your lawyer, maybe there's a suit against your lawyer, but it's not going to help you win the appeal. And then the
so in other words, you're saying if the lawyer was incompetent, this client you were talking to could consider bringing a malpractice action.
That's right.
Against a lawyer.
Yeah.
Which in effect probably would involve who was the liar, who was not the liar,
yeah.
What
yeah.
evidence was not put on, et cetera. Is that what you're saying?
It's a different lawsuit.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, Faye mentioned you can raise ineffective assistance of counsel in a criminal case,
mm-hmm.
because it's in the Sixth and Seventh Amendment, but there's nothing like that in civil cases,
yeah.
So I can't raise it in a civil case. And I also told him, I said, look, it's for the trial court to decide who was lying. You say this guy was lying. The trial court felt he wasn't lying. He thought you was lying. You were lying.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not going to work. And he said, well, what can I do? I said, well, I'll look at it. If there's some issues of law, like the court refused to hear certain evidence that was admissible or let in certain evidence that was inadmissible, that might work. If the trial court misunderstood some statute, that might work. Things like that.
Yeah.
But there was nothing like that in the case. And Faye mentioned you have absolute right to appeal in a criminal case. You have that in a civil case, too. You
mm-hmm.
have an absolute right to an appeal.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't get is the state paying for your lawyer and the state paying for a transcript.
Sure.
Now, if you had a trial, you can appeal without a transcript, but
mm-hmm.
it's virtually hopeless because the appellate court's going to assume every piece of testimony was against you.
Sure.
So you really need that transcript, and it costs money. Court reporters got to get paid.
Faye, let me do this with you. We have, as you know, the first half hour is the statewide version of the program, which is recorded. We send it out to 15 other stations that in California that will air the half hour next week. So we have about a little bit more than 2 minutes before the end of the statewide version. Faye, do you have a simple example you can give us from the criminal?
Can I just finish this
sentence?
Oh,
yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So I told this guy, save your money, don't appeal, find a way to negotiate with the other side and pay it off. And he said, no, I don't want to do that. I want to appeal. I said, well, you're going to have to find another lawyer because I'm not going to do it. I think it would be a frivolous appeal, and I'm worried about my reputation if I do something like that.
Okay.
He did find another lawyer, and the opinion just came down from the appellate court affirming the judgment, so he totally lost. And they wrote an opinion that made him look terrible because it discussed how he lied in the trial court.
Oh, my.
So now he's got the whole world to see what
that,
kind of
that he's a liar.
Yeah.
Faye, we've got 2 minutes. What simple example might you give? It's kind of going from what Myron was doing.
Yes. Well, in criminal cases, you have to find issues because you're dealing with people's lives. So you have to find issues. Same. The analysis is pretty much the same in criminal as civil. You go over all the evidence. You see if the court made evidentiary errors. In terms of examples, the process is pretty much the same, except in criminal we don't tell clients you don't have an issue. Especially if you're privately retained, you find an issue. There are issues, and so I always find issues, but it's a little different than civil where there's a monetary weighing. I mean, is it worth pursuing the case because you're going to lose money or whatever? In criminal, you don't. You pursue the case regardless, especially if the client wants to. There's a possibility that if the client maybe is going to get more time, if they appeal or there was a mistake in their favor, then, of course, you don't want them to pursue the appeal. But otherwise, there is really nothing to lose by going forward in appeal. So, and most of the time, we find a creative issue, and a lot of times those result in published opinions, because there is a certain amount of creativity in criminal law that you have to come up with, especially in terms of they're always passing new laws. I had that one revenge porn statute where the client was convicted of posting a picture.
Faye, we have to end it here, but for those who are listening to the live program, we will continue in just a few seconds. Everybody, this is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program on appellate law. If you would like to call in with a question, a comment, whatever that occurs to you and you feel it would be helpful to you or perhaps other people listening to the program, other public radio listeners. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. My guests are Faye Arfa. I introduced her in the beginning of the program. She's a criminal law trial advocate certified by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. She is a specialist in both appellate law and criminal law certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization. Her office is in Los Angeles. Paul Katz is a specialist in appellate law certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization with office in San Francisco. And Myron Moskowitz is the legal director of the Moskowitz Appellate Team Law Firm in Piedmont. He is a retired professor of law at Golden Gate University School of Law. He has a new book out. For lawyers who are doing any appeals, I highly recommend you take a look at it and get it. It's entitled Moskowitz on Appeal. It's published by LexisNexis. And Myron's put 50 years of practice into this book, and it's very well done. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. And for a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services of the San Francisco Bar, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. That number is 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find an experienced attorney to meet with you for half an hour. depending on where you are, and there's minor exception to this, very minor, for a half an hour consultation, you will pay $25 to $35. It's a great investment in trying to find out what your rights and obligations may be. Additional funding for this program are made possible by the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar of California, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar of California, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. And before I cut you off, Faye, you were getting close to the end of the point you were making. If you would like to continue, go ahead.
Oh, yes. Well, I just recently handled a case dealing with it's called the revenge porn, where a person posts something that they thought was, one person posts something that another person thought was private. And that had not been challenged legally. So the court did uphold the constitutionality of the law, but we were able to refine it to make sure that people had notice of exactly what was expected and how they could be charged with violating the law. Mm-hmm. So even though the person didn't get or have money or money wasn't involved, there was a constitutional issue, a statutory issue, right to freedom of speech and what exactly constituted a message and all sorts of definitions that were involved so that people really needed to know what was going on. So that's what we do in criminal law. It's not about money, it's about freedom, it's about people's rights and liberties.
So let me encourage those of you listening to the program, wherever you may be, if you're listening on the internet at www.kow.org, join us wherever you may be in the United States. If you're listening to us live on the NPR satellite, join us. We're doing this program live on Wednesday evening, September 7th. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. If you have a question regarding perhaps your own case, which you may have lost or which you're considering now that you want to appeal, certainly I would encourage you to call in with your question, your comment, your concern, because that's what this program is all about, to try to help you and try to give you some direction of where you might go from here. Let me come back to you, Paul, for a minute. If someone, now you do both civil and criminal cases. If someone says, my attorney did a bad job, as Myron was talking about with his example, how would you deal with this, whether it's civil or whether it's criminal?
Well, I think in this particular circumstance, this question is completely determinative whether we're talking about civil or criminal law. Let's start with the civil context. As Myron stated previously, that's something we really can't help on appeal. That's something that you can maybe talk to a malpractice attorney, see if your attorney was the reason that you lost a trial, then you could perhaps sue your attorney and try to get compensation for the damages that you got for losing the trial. On the other hand, on the criminal side, it's totally different. If there was what's called ineffective assistance of counsel, because a criminal defendant has constitutional right to competent counsel, that can be a reason to be able to overturn a criminal conviction. Sometimes it can happen if it's within the documents of what happened in the trial. That's something you can bring up on appeal. Also, relatedly, a lot of times these sort of ineffective assistance of counsel claims come up on something that's like an appeal, and it's called a petition for habeas corpus. But that's something that a person who's steeped in criminal appeals would do equally. They both would do a criminal appeal or a petition for habeas corpus, and that would be a method in the criminal context of reversing conviction. Not the same thing in the civil context. That's something where you're going to have to file a totally separate lawsuit. Just to mention two quick things I think that are really important for everyone to know regarding appeals. One is that both in the civil and criminal context, you need to file a notice of appeal in time to be able to get an appeal.
You have to be timely.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And so even though in the civil and criminal context you have a right to an appeal, you need to file a notice of appeal in time. And sometimes it's 60 days. Sometimes it's not that clear cut. Mm-hmm. And it's a real – and the easiest way to lose an appeal is by forgetting to file the notice of appeal in time.
Oh,
so there is some urgency, and that's important regardless of civil or criminal.
Is generally speaking, is 60 days the general period?
Unfortunately, like most legal answers, I would have to say it depends. In state court, that is often a benchmark, but 60 days from what? In the civil context, that can be really complicated. In the criminal context, it's typically 60 days from when you're sentenced.
Let me add something to what Paul was talking about. This question, my lawyer screwed up at trial. Can I do anything about it? It's not that simple. I handle a lot of appeals. I look at a lot of trial court records. Trials are very difficult for trial attorneys. You're juggling a lot of balls at the same time. You got to worry about the jury, about what the judge is thinking, different motions, different pieces of evidence, and it's very hard to do perfectly. And lawyers do make mistakes. And it's my job as an appellate lawyer to try to win the appeal in spite of those mistakes. Sometimes I can't, and sometimes I do, like what I did with this client I told you about. I said, I just can't help you. But quite often, I will take the appeal. There will be an argument I want to make, but the other side says, well, it wasn't made in the trial court. And that blocks you from raising it for the first time on appeal.
Because you're talking about different evidence.
Could be evidence. It could be a certain argument.
I
can't introduce new evidence. But sometimes I can manage to make an argument that wasn't made perfectly in the trial court, even though there's a general rule against it, if I can find some way the lawyer said something like that. Mm-hmm. So I do try to make up for things the trial lawyer might have done better.
How about
things I can't, but sometimes I can, and I confront this type of thing in virtually every appeal.
How about you, Faye? What comments do you have about this?
Well, I think that a lot of people want to blame their lawyer.
Well, you got to blame someone. Hey.
Just in general.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, sometimes it is valid, and sometimes it's not valid. Sometimes it's a matter of the court's rulings. It's a matter of just an instructional error. It's not always the attorney. But there are some attorneys, especially in criminal law, who... as an appellate lawyer, I believe they could have done a better job.
Mm-hmm.
So if your lawyer screws up in criminal law, it's a big deal. It's a big deal because it's a constitutional right to the effective assistance of counsel. So it's a big constitutional issue if you can show it on appeal. As Paul mentioned, a lot of times it's not in the record, and you may have to submit additional papers, and that's a slightly different kind of tandem process, which is a habeas corpus. But it's a big deal in criminal law.
Let's take our first call from John. John, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
This is a great program. I had kind of two questions. The first one is a friend of mine went to jury duty today, and he was in a jury selection where they were going to apparently grant conservatorship to a person. So, and then he wasn't real specific, but apparently this person had been convicted of a felony in 2004, and he was suing or. That's what be an appeal to give him freedom. Apparently, he's been locked up. He was escorted everywhere around. What do you think about that? And then there's the other thing.
Now wait a minute, John. Wait a minute, John.
He gave information about his own mental health history, and he wondered if that would become public. Okay, that's it. That's my
okay. Point. Yeah, it sounds like it's not an appeal. You're using the word appeal kind of generally. an appeal that we're talking about is asking a higher court to change what a lower court did. And if this is going to a jury, that's not an appeal.
Yeah.
Right. It was for a different thing, for his conservancy, relinquished, so I guess so he can get out of a mental hospital. That's what I'm thinking. One more quick thing. I'm from the generation where all I know about the law is Perry Mason, and every single Perry Mason show was a pre-trial hearing. Is that true or not?
No, it's not true. Most of those were actual trials in front of juries. There are pre-trial hearings, too, where a judge hears evidence in a criminal case to decide if there's enough to go to a jury.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think Perry Mason, most of those shows were actual jury trials.
Okay.
Okay, but look it over. A lot of them are pretrial. I discovered this after watching it.
You may be right. You sound like you're too young to know about Perry Mason.
I'm in my 60s, so that was my main legal
thing. No kidding.
All right, have a nice evening. I'm really glad to talk to you.
Thank you, John, very much for calling. All right. I want to encourage those of you who do have something else that you'd like to bring to my guests' attention. The toll-free number, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And I do want to, wherever you may be, let you know this is the 75th anniversary of KALW. Believe it or not, it was the first FM station in San Francisco. It was the first anywhere west of the Mississippi River. It is now this month, September 2016. It is 75 years old. So we're doing some special stuff, and that's why I've invited my friends here. I've known Myron Moskowitz not quite 75 years, but a few years.
Almost.
Wow. And I've invited Faye because she's such a significant attorney down in L.A., and also Paul. He's a young guy, but he sounds like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So for those of you who do have any question or comment or would like to present something to all of us, please don't wait for another 5 or 10 minutes because we'll be over. The toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Faye, what else would you like the audience to know about, the public radio audience to know about?
Well, my general feeling is always to try to stay out of court.
Come on, be braver than that. Come on, Faye, go ahead. I'm just pulling your chain.
I think the public needs to know that it's very hard to overturn a conviction, and it's very hard to overturn any judgment by the court. So, because most of the courts feel that you've already had your shot at it,
mm-hmm.
and the jury's already made a decision. Not to say that we can't be successful, but it is hard. There's kind of a presumption that the trial court was okay, at least in criminal law. So it is hard to overturn a conviction.
Let me flesh that out a little bit.
This is Myron.
The statistics are daunting. In criminal cases, the appellate courts reverse in less than 10% of the cases. In civil cases, it's a little better, but not much. They reverse in less than 20% of the cases. So it's very difficult to get a reversal. Let me just talk for a minute about, we've talked about the difference between the courts, the trial court and the appellate court. There's also a difference in the lawyers. Trial lawyers are specialists in doing everything. I mean, they have to prepare the case for trial, prepare witnesses, find out the other guy's case and be ready to cross-examine them, prepare motions, help select a jury, and then during the trial itself, all these things are happening at once, and they need to have a large set of skills. They have to be able to speak in public. They have to be able to write, and they have to be able to plan and understand how humans react to the case they're presenting. The appellate attorney has a different set of skills, and we have more time, and we have a defined record, a universe of paper that's not going to grow, was created by somebody else, and we have to work within that because that's the same.
And there's no interviewing of witnesses
that. No, we just look at that box of paper. It's the same box that the appellate judges look at, exactly the same. And we have to create an argument out of that box of papers and present it in briefs. The appellant, the party who's asking that the judgment be overturned, gets to write two briefs, an opening brief and then a reply brief to the respondent's brief, the winner's brief, who gets to write one brief. And then after that, quite a bit after that, you orally argue the case to the appellate court for a very short period of time. It's usually 15 to 30 minutes, and that's it. And then you're done. So the oral presentation part of it, this live, is very short. It comes very late in the game, and it usually doesn't have too much effect on the opinion. So it's the good writing and the good knowledge of what appellate judges want that makes us different. And trial lawyers usually don't have this experience. Some of them do. But it's usually better to go to an appellate lawyer to handle an appeal than just expect the trial lawyer to do it, because it's a different set of skills.
And also in criminal law, the respondent, the person you're fighting, is usually the attorney general's office, somebody from the attorney general's office. And those attorneys are specialists in appeals. It's not like you're dealing with the district attorney anymore. So you have a whole different set. You're dealing with the state. It's basically the defendant against the state of California. So that's a little different also than civil, where you have private parties or companies or businesses litigating against each other.
Let's take another call. Varian, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
How you doing?
Hi.
It's happened to me several times, and you put your trust in an attorney, you pay him, he loses the case, and sometimes the case may be expensive for the loser. Why is it lawyers never have to pay for their mistakes?
Good point. Good. Now, that's your question, Varian?
Yeah, because I've seen guys who have spent some time, and the lawyers say, well, I made a mistake.
Right.
Okay, let's get some comments for you. I think we've covered it already, that perhaps we have a basis for malpractice, but in any event, may he turn his radio back up and you guys respond. Varian, thank you very much for that. I'm sorry to hear that you've done this or had to deal with this several times. What comment do you have for him, Faye?
Well, I think if you're going to pick a lawyer, you have to look around, because even lawyers who pick lawyers can make a mistake. So you want to pick a lawyer that you really feel comfortable with, not someone that's going to make all sorts of promises to you that maybe they can or can't fulfill. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
You know, a good lawyer, a decent lawyer, will do everything he can to keep the case from going to trial. Because once it goes to trial, you don't know what's going to happen.
Sure.
You know, juries are decent people, but they're lay people. They have different ideas, and they can do anything. So a good lawyer will try to find some way to settle the case. Settlements, they say the best settlement is when neither party is happy.
Yeah.
It's the fairest settlement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you may not be happy with that. But if the case goes to trial, you can't always blame your lawyer. I mean, that's when you can't settle. The parties are too far apart, and there's no other way to resolve it. But it's a high-risk venture. And if you lose, people are tempted to blame the lawyer. But as long as the lawyer properly warned the client of the risks, it's not always the lawyer's fault.
Yeah. Now, in criminal, it's a little different. Because in criminal, you want an attorney that is experienced in trials. Because many times when the state comes down on you, the only thing you can really fight with is a trial. The prosecution doesn't care a lot about what's going on, and it really depends on the prosecutor, but you have to be prepared to go to trial, because that's the only way the prosecution is not going to take you for granted. You have to you have to go to trial almost in a lot of cases, because a lot of times, especially if the prosecution is unreasonable, you have no other choice. So it's a little different in civil versus criminal, because in civil, you want to settle. You want to avoid the trial because there's so many uncertainties, especially if the case goes on appeal. You never know if you're going to get your judgment, and you know, there's all sorts of things that you need to think about. But in criminal law, you want to have an attorney that has experiences in trial and knows really what the case is going to work is worth, whether it's worth fighting or it's not. And so there's all sorts of things you can do if the prosecution knows that you'll go to trial. If they think you're going to roll over, then they probably will have you roll over.
Mm.
So sometimes you have to fight tooth and nail for little things. For example, in this last case, we just had to fight just to see the crime scene.
I'm sorry, we had to fight what?
The defense had to fight just to see what the crime scene looked like.
I see, okay.
Because the prosecution,
I got you.
Yeah, they wouldn't let us see it. We had to get court orders, and we had to fight just little things like that.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Let me take another call here. Peter, welcome to Your Legal Rights. Peter, are you there? Hello, Peter?
Peter.
Well, what happened to Peter? Well, I guess Peter couldn't wait. One of the things that you want to do, certainly if you're in the law or if you're a party, one way or the other, you have to have patience. You have to have patience. Peter has given us an example. He had to wait a few more seconds than he wanted to, and he hung up.
Oh.
Rita, are you there, Rita? Rita?
I'm here.
Okay, yes. You're on the air, my dear.
Hi.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. When I was in New York City, I had to testify in a murder trial, and the charges were murder or,
Manslaughter.
Manslaughter, yes,
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And she got off with severe emotional distress and got the charge of manslaughter, and I had to testify in that case. But now she's having an appeal. There was two charges. She got off with the murder, but she got manslaughter, the lesser of the two charges, and she's still appealing. If would I have to go back again and testify?
Oh, that's a good very
maybe
very
maybe
good point.
If
turn your radio back up, Rita.
Well, it's a long process. Appeals usually take a couple years, but if the appellate court reverses, I have no idea what the issues are, but sometimes the issues they might reverse on require a new trial. And then it would be up to the prosecutor to decide whether to go ahead with a new trial. And if they do, they could call you again as a witness.
Rita, are you still there? I guess.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Where are you? What state?
I'm in California. But
oh, you are. Okay, you have to go back. Well, you may have to go back to
yeah,
New York City.
I wouldn't start packing yet.
Don't pack yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Give it
5 years.
Yeah, give it a couple of years. Thanks. Thank you very much for calling, though.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Robert, welcome to the program.
Hi. To the Superior Court judges in San Francisco, if you appeal a case, you end up over at the State Building with the same Superior Court judges denying your application for more time. That doesn't seem real fair to me.
I'm sorry, you said the same judge? It's not the same judges.
Not the exact same judges, but they were Superior Court judges from the San Francisco Superior Court, three of them.
Some of them are, some of them aren't. Well, some were appointed from private practice. But, it's up to the governor who to appoint, and they do tend to appoint trial court judges because what appellate court judges do for a living is review trial court decisions, and it's really helpful to know what trial courts do if you're going to review their decisions. Now, that said, there are some appellate court judges who've never served as trial court judges and do it quite well.
Myron, I think he might be talking about the appellate division. We talked about the Court of Appeal, but for like misdemeanor cases or for limited jurisdiction cases that are less than $25,000, instead of going to the Court of Appeal, you go to the appellate division, which is kind of like
the superior court.
Of the superior court, yeah. Which is kind of like the junior varsity appellate court. I don't mean any denigration.
You're going to hear about this, I'm sure.
Everything always comes back to me one way or another. And so there, I have heard that from other litigants. They do think that it is sometimes difficult to convince the appellate division, because what they're doing is they're going to be telling one of their colleagues who might have the office next to them that they were wrong.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's just something that the way that the state of California has divided up the judicial roles, that's just what they've done. And I don't the courts will just not presume bias unless there's something, a real smoking gun there. So that's just something that we entrust our judges to act impartially. And I know
Give me a break.
And unfortunately, a lot of losing litigants tend to have that same opinion, but that's something why an appellate attorney is a good kind of objective voice to, unfortunately, sometimes give you a kind of a cold, some hard medicine of saying, you know, whether or not you do really have a case against them or not.
Very quickly, though, in light of what Robert has raised here, if you lose in the appellate division, you lost below, you now lost in the appellate division, where do you go from there, Paul?
Well, that's kind of a wrinkle that doesn't happen that often. Typically, a lot of times that's the end of the road, because as Myron said, the California Supreme Court takes very, very few cases, and the Court of Appeal typically does not take cases from the appellate division. Though, of course, with everything in law, there's an exception. There is a way that you can transfer a case from the appellate division to the Court of Appeal. But in that case, the Court of Appeal, just like the Supreme Court, has discretion whether or not they'll take the case. And they'll only do it if it's really an important issue of law that they have to review.
In other words, what you are telling us is nothing is simple.
Right.
Yeah. Nothing is simple whatsoever. We have, by the way, about half a minute or so left in the actual program itself. Faye, last comments. Do you have any?
Well, what can I say? That the system, I believe in the system. That even though there is unfairness and it seems unfair, I think that the system really does work. And it's just a matter of, you know, just putting all the pieces together. And
we have now run out of time, everybody. I want to thank the three of you very much for joining us on the program. Faye Arfa, criminal law trial advocate certified by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, specialist in both appellate law and criminal law, certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization, office in L.A. Paul Katz, specialist in appellate law, certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization, office in San Francisco. And my good friend Myron Moskowitz, director of Moskowitz Appellate Team Law Firm and author of the new book, Moskowitz on Appeal. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks.
Great to have you on the program. Next time on Your Legal Rights, we'll be celebrating KLW Public Radio being on the air for 75 years and its value for public radio listeners by doing a program on legal protections for tenants and, believe it or not, for renters using internet marketplaces such as Airbnb for national and international vacation rentals. My guests will be landlord-tenant attorney Sal Timpano and real estate and shared economy attorney Tad Devlin. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for this program has been made possible by the National Board of Trial Advocacy with a website, nbtalawyers.org, and by the California Board of Legal Specialization with a website, calbar.ca.gov, and click on Legal Specialists. Thank you very much for listening to Your Legal Rights, and I hope you will join us next time on your public radio station. I'm Chuck Finney.